today as we come to the table.
How awesome it is when people will really lead the way God has called them to lead. Because when they don't, the whole nation suffers. Your homes suffer, dads, when you're not leading. Our communities suffer when there is not righteous leadership in place. Our nation suffers, this world suffers, when leaders of God refuse to lead. And in this case, Deborah had stepped up and begun to lead, and she's saying, you know what, look, when I stepped up and led, she's gonna get into this, look what God did. And she's not gonna exalt herself or talk about herself. She's gonna be exalting God, but she's making a point. All it takes is one person who will really stand up to make a difference.
What happens when no one steps up to lead? Nothing. That's right. Without leadership, there's no clear direction. But it's amazing what can happen when someone steps up to take the lead. Too often people wait for someone else to lead while they're too afraid to do so themselves. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table. The Daily Bible Study Program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary Knoxville. In his message today, Pastor Mark shares with you the Song of Deborah, as she rejoices over the victory that God gave Israel when she stepped up to lead. What about you? Is there an area in life where you need to take a stand and do something? Is God speaking to your heart about taking the lead for His glory? Now let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Judges, chapter 5, as he begins his message, The Song of Deborah.
If you've got your Bibles, let's open them up to Judges chapter 5. As today we get back into the book of Judges, and we're going to look today at the Song of Deborah. After the victory that God gave she and Barak and Jael against Jabin and Sisera. Let's pray. God, I pray your word would just really speak individually to everyone here today. I thank you for your word, and I thank you, God, that we can learn about the Bible, and we can learn facts, and we can learn how you work, and even study it from a student's perspective. But I pray that today, Lord, would be more than just a student's perspective. I pray this would be something we share in. God, that we share with each other, that we share with Deborah and Barak. It's amazing to think that Deborah and Barak and Jael, they're in the kingdom now with you, Lord, and we're going to see them one day, and we're going to, I don't know if we'll talk about this battle. I'm not sure how it's going to be. Probably we will at some point. But either way, Lord, I pray that you would just help us to realize that we are one with them. We are family. And the same rejoicing that we're going to see them do today because of your great victory is the same rejoicing that we do today because of how you work in victorious ways in our lives as well. And God, there are many here this morning who need victory in some area. They need to see your miraculous hand, your touch. Lord, they need you to move in powerful ways. And you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. So I pray you would just show yourself strong to them today. And God, show yourself to us through the teaching of your word. And we ask your blessing on it, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The Song of Deborah. Now, you'll see when we get into this why it's called the Song of Deborah, because that's what it is. The Song of Deborah. Now, if you remember what happened the last time we were in this portion of scripture in chapter 4, we saw that God had done a great miracle for the nation of Israel. Now, remember the pattern they were in Judges. It's probably good to give a recap every so often of this, just because we're going to see this pattern over and over, but we need to recognize it. And that is what they would do is they would do good for a while, and then they'd begin to veer away from God as a people. And then because God loved them, he would bring in oppression. Sounds kind of interesting and funny on the surface, doesn't it? But when God loves us and we're veering off course, God brings in oppression. He brings in hard times. Why does God do that? Because he knows that hard times will get our attention and hopefully drive us back to him. So God brings in the oppression, drives them back, and they cry out to God. And when they cry out to God, God brings them a deliverer from the oppression. Now, some of you right now probably have some area where you're feeling oppressed, and it might be because you veered off course. Now remember, sometimes you're under oppression, you're under heaviness, and you're under trials Because you're doing the right thing. So just because you have some kind of pressure or trial doesn't mean you're doing anything wrong. But at the same time, no doubt, with this many of us here, some of you are feeling some weight in your life, and God is trying to get your attention. And maybe you didn't even recognize it until I said it this morning. Wait a minute, I never thought about that. I realize everything's going crazy in my life, but could it be because of, oh my. And then God uses that to get your attention and say, okay, now I've got your attention. I had Mark say it first thing at the beginning of the service, so now you would know what you need to do, and now your ears will be open to how God can minister the rest of the time. Now do something about it. And so that's all God asks us to do. He asks us to cry out, and then God will respond. You know, Ben, in his prayer, said this, the Lord is as close as his name. And how true that is. We simply cry out to the name of the Lord, and the Lord is there. And something else very interesting, actually, that Ben pointed out to me a while back, and it, when you go through the book of Judges, a lot of times you'll see in here they cried out to the Lord, and God sent a deliverer, but it doesn't really mention that they repented. Now, they may have. We don't know the full import of what happened. Maybe sometimes they did, maybe sometimes they didn't. Maybe some of them did, maybe some of them didn't. Either way, it makes it even more amazing at how gracious our God is to think that even when they cried out and didn't repent, God still moved on their behalf. And you know what? I believe God does that for us today. There's a lot of times where people will simply cry out to God because they're in a desperate situation, and I've seen this happen. God will step in and do something amazing in their life to deliver them just to show them that he heard them and that he loves them. And this is exciting to me. It's the grace of God. Now, it's not that God doesn't require repentance. It's not that God says, all right, it's okay, you don't have to repent. God requires repentance, and God still asks us to repent. But sometimes God just is good to us to show us that he's good and to bring us to repentance. You know, the Bible says it's his kindness that brings us to repentance. And one of the things I've seen in my life, and I know you guys, I'm certain, have as well, if you've walked with the Lord any length of time, is oftentimes when I deserve it the least is when God does the most for me. I mean, I'll be in a situation where I know my heart's not right. I may not be like in open rebellion or living in some vicious sin, so to speak, but I know my heart's wrong. I know I'm not where I need to be. I know I'm not responding the right way to my wife or my kids or to you guys or to something else. And I feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit about, Mark, you stop living in your flesh and get back in the Spirit. And I sense all that and I feel all that. And it's at that moment when I know I'm not doing good, oftentimes the sweetest blessings he'll just give. And when that happens, it always amazes me, and it reminds me every time he does it, I'm thinking, why did you bless me now? I almost would prefer a spiritual swat on the backside, because I would feel like, well, I deserved it. That was good. He should have done that. And so I kind of go, okay, now I deserve it. Let's go. But instead, he blesses me. And it's through that blessing, God knowing that his kindness will lead us to repentance, guess what it causes me to do? To repent. I'll say, Lord, I know I didn't deserve this. I know you really should have done something more severe to me, or something rather than being nice. Thank you. Forgive me, Lord. I know I'm blowing it. I need your help. God, help me with this. And it causes me then to kick into gear and do the right thing simply because he's good. What a great motivator love is. Love is a great motivator, isn't it? It's a great motivator, and grace is a great motivator. Now, when the time is right, a good spiritual swat on the backside is a great motivator as well. And I get those, and I need them. But it's amazing how God, throughout the book of Judges, will see him restore them simply when they cry out to him. And some of you this morning, God is waiting. He's there saying, I'm ready. I want to restore you. I want to bless your life. I want to move again, but I'm waiting on you to call out to me. All you have to do this morning is do it. And you don't have to wait until the end when we pray. You don't have to wait until the end when we're done. You can do it now. I'll give you permission to let your mind stray off, get right with the Lord, and then come back quick. But you can do that. And this is exactly what God does with the nation of Israel over and over and over. And again, we see Deborah here now enter into chapter 5 into this great song of praise. We won't get to all the chapter. We'll get through verse 19 today and finish it up next week. But we're going to see Deborah enter into this great time of praise and worship because what God has done. And she's going to recount what the Lord has done for her and for Barak and Jael and others, and just the blessing for the nation of Israel. But we're going to see also that not only does she challenge the nation of Israel and talk about God's greatness, and we'll get into the challenges as we go through it, there's also this beautiful spontaneous praise that takes place here in chapter 5. Now, I love praise and worship. Every believer, it's a part of our being. It's who we are. And we may not always feel like it. We may always, sometimes not, you know, feel like praise and worship. Maybe we're sick. Maybe we're having a bad moment. Maybe we're going through a tough trial and we don't feel like it. But the Bible says we're to do it anyway. The word worship, as you know, comes from the word worthy. It really is worth-ship would really be the way that literally it would be said in English vernacular. But the bottom line is that God's worthy of our praise. So whether we feel like it or not, we need to praise God. Whether we felt like it or not, He's still worthy of praise. He's still worthy of honor, so we do it anyway. And we all know those times. We have those times. Some of you maybe this morning had one of those times you did it because you knew that God was worthy of it, but you didn't really feel like it because of some test or some trial or some illness or something that's preoccupying your mind, whatever the case might be. But the greatest moments of praise are those spontaneous moments of praise when God does something so amazing in your life, you can't help but just begin to praise Him. I mean, it just happens. You start singing praises to Him. You start chanting praises to Him. You're just, God, You're good. Thank You, Lord, whatever the case might be. And it's usually when I do that, that somebody in the car next to me is watching me. But I don't know about you, but, you know, then I grab the phone real quick and nod a lot, you know, but the bottom line is it's natural. It comes from the heart. And this is a spontaneous praise that makes it easy to praise God and fills us with rejoicing. This is where Deborah is in this particular psalm because they've just defeated their enemies. God has given them a great victory by miracles and by power. They've been set free from their oppressors once again. And Deborah steps up and begins to give God praise and glory for doing that. And so again, those of you that are doing it because it's spontaneous, again, it's much more enjoyable because it's something that's just flowing from your heart. But this is the kind of praise that God wants us to do. Now, something else that Deborah's going to point out in this is that she's going to point out those of the tribes of Israel who helped in the battle and those of the tribes of Israel who did not help in the battle. Now, note that. Because the same thing that was going on in their day is going on in our day as well. And that is, there are some of you this morning, I'm just going to say it, you're not helping in the battle. Now, I want to be careful. Understand, my job as your pastor is to build you up. Pastor Chuck used to say, if you feed the sheep, they'll grow naturally, and they'll reproduce, and they'll be healthy. Pastors, feed them. He would tell us that at the conferences. Feed the sheep. Feed them, they're going to be strong. He said, if you beat the sheep, they'll be weak. They'll be torn down. They'll be discouraged. They'll always feel they're failing. He said, don't beat the sheep. Feed the sheep. However, there's also the responsibility of the pastor to encourage the sheep and to warn the sheep in a very fatherly and loving way. You know, a good dad or a good mom will say, honey, you know what? You know, even with my girls, I've told them, I said, girls, now when you get older and you get where you're adult age and you live on your own life, you can choose to do what you choose to do. But understand, there'll be consequences. If you choose to do things that are righteous, you're going to have righteous consequences. If you choose to do things that are unrighteous, you're going to have unrighteous consequences. You've got to make that choice. A good dad and a good mom will do that. So does a good God. He does the same thing. And He will move in the pastor's heart sometimes to do that. Listen, part of the main message of the Song of Deborah is we need to be about the Father's business. And if you're sitting back and not doing anything in the battle, it's time to get going. And God will hold us accountable for what we do. Now, this is not a salvation issue, but if you don't get in the battle, there will be, the Bible says, there will be reward that you will miss. God has rewards lined up in heaven. He's already decided what you're going to get eternally. There it is, because He sees what He's called you to do. And the Bible says that as we walk and follow God, God meets out that reward. One day we're going to have that reward. You know, people say you can't take it with you, but you can send it on ahead. And so what we do as believers, we send it on ahead. God moves in your heart. Minister to that person. Step out in that ministry. Get involved in the men's ministry. Get involved in women's ministry. Do kids' ministry. Whatever the ministry is, whatever you're doing, and some of you even outside the church, you're doing different ministries, but we need to be doing something because God holds us accountable. He says, get into the game. Don't be a sideline Christian. Don't just sit among the sheepfolds. Don't just sit among the flock and watch everyone else do it. And you know, it's interesting. We're going to see when we get into this, only 4 out of the 12 tribes participated in the battle. 1/3 of the believers, if you want to put it in a modern day symbol, 1/3 of the children of Israel, the children of God, got involved in this battle. And God's going to rebuke the other 2/3 who didn't. Why didn't you join in? Why did you just sit back and watch everyone else do it? So we're going to get into that. Now, again, not to beat you up, but to encourage you up and say, look, I want to challenge you this morning. Part of today's message is a built-in challenge. Are you serving God? Again, this is not about works. We don't have to go that direction. We know that works don't look. You're in heaven. If you believe in Jesus, you're in heaven. You're not earning anything. You're simply honoring God and being about the Father's business. You're getting into the battle. I'll tell you something. In America, we have a battle raging, don't we? There's a battle raging in America. Every single one of us are needed. Can you imagine going into battle and we're in the army, we're sent into whatever the fields of Iraq or Afghanistan or whatever the case might be, and the battle's raging around us in Fallujah, and 2/3 of the guys are over there having coffee while the bullets are flying over and they're hunkered down below something. We're getting shot at, bombs are blowing up. I would be going, grab your weapon and start firing. Do something. Don't just, oh man, you guys have got it. You're doing good. I mean, it looks like the enemy's being held back and things are, how would you react in that situation? Now think about it. We're in a spiritual battle. You are on the battlefield this morning, whether you like it or not. Think about that for a minute. When you said to Jesus, I do, when you received him as your Lord and you became a believer, the Bible says you are in the spiritual battle. And I think what happens to a lot of believers is they step into the spiritual battle and they don't do anything and they start getting hit by the enemy and then they spend their whole life complaining about how hard life is because the enemy's beating them up everywhere and attacking them from all sides. Listen, you're going to be a lot more effective if you put on the full armor and start fighting back. Are you still going to get hit? Yes. But if you put on the full armor and face the enemy and begin to engage in battle, you're going to be blocking a lot of those shots that are coming in, and you're going to score a lot of points as you go back. And so we have to realize we are fighting a battle, whether we like it or not. And rather than 1/3 doing the work of the ministry, there should be a lot larger number. I heard years ago, and people even warned me when I stepped out in ministry, and I think we do better at Calvary. I honestly do. But I heard them say, if you go into church work, you're going to find out that the largest percentage of people don't really do much. And there's a small group of people that carry the church and keep it going. I found that to be generally true. However, I think our percentages are high at Calvary. I have to brag on you guys. I really do. But when I see other churches, sometimes in Calvary, but I see a lot of other churches, I see a lot of times they relegate everything to the staff, everything to the pastor, and people aren't getting involved. Here's the encouragement. This is not to tear you down, but to build you up. Challenge your heart. Am I serving? Am I a part of what God is doing? Am I in the battle? Deborah's going to lay it out of those who were in the battle and those who weren't in the battle, and she's going to talk about it. Well, Mark, what can I do? I can't do anything. Listen, here's some basics you can start out with. You can get serious about prayer. You can pray for specific issues that our nation needs. Even 5 minutes of prayer for God to shut down Planned Parenthood every day. Even 5 minutes of prayer for God to raise up a godly leader for our nation. Even 5 minutes of prayer for God to save even one baby today that is headed to an abortion clinic. Whatever. Your prayers make a difference. You can make an impact, and you may not even know it to you into the kingdom of God, but you can do that. That's something you can do to be in the battle. Number two, you can speak up. I'm not into, you know, pushing political activism where we're involved in everything and we're always marching on Washington. But you know what? There are certain issues. You ought to call your senator. You ought to call your congressman. I did it just last week. Tracy did it last week. I don't do that all the time. I've written letters to the president. I'm probably on their registry of guys to watch out for. But I've been polite. I haven't been rude. But I said the truth of what needed to be said and say, here's the deal. Here's what God's going to hold us accountable for. We need to speak up. God calls us to do that. We can stop shying away from controversial issues, and we can vote. You realize how many people in the world can't vote? They can't vote. They don't have a right to vote. God has given us that right. So even starting in basics like that, guys, we can actively get involved in the warfare and in the fight. And I want to encourage you, step out and begin to serve. Find a place where you feel called, and if you don't know, step out and serve somewhere. I've always said it's like those old cars that don't have any power steering. You know, our generation doesn't, the new generation probably has no idea what I'm talking about. But my generation, you've driven some of those old cars, they have no power steering. You can't turn that guy until you start moving. You ever notice that? He's not going anywhere. There's no power steering, right? But when you start to drive the vehicle, you can turn it. God does the same thing with us as believers. Once we say, all right, Lord, I'm going to step out. I'm going to see where the needs are. I'm going to start serving. Then God may direct you somewhere else. He may say, no, I didn't want you here. I wanted you there. But until you start driving, he can't even get the wheel turned. So we need to trust God and step out. Deborah's going to hit on all these issues in some form and fashion as we go through the Song of Deborah. Notice she starts out in verse 1. Says, then Deborah and Barak, the son of Abinoam, sang on that day, saying. Now again, before we even get into the song, notice this. She now, it tells us, is going to sing a song. Now, it's interesting when you look at this psalm because she talks about battle and war and Jael, you know, piercing the temple of Sisera and all this. I mean, it's pretty graphic stuff. And I'm thinking, how do you sing that, you know? You know, this morning, well, she took the spike, drove it through his head, you know, whatever. I mean, I don't think I'd do that. But she did it. Now, remember, a lot of songs just were words. A lot of songs actually had tunes to them as well. David's songs, he wrote music to them as well and did all this. This may have been one that was just words. This may have been one music. It may have been over the years changed and music added to it. But whatever, it is the song of Deborah. And you know, Deborah wasn't the only one singing. As a matter of fact, Barak, we're going to see, was rejoicing and singing with her. No doubt Jael was singing the song when she heard it because she's in the song, you know, written about her and all that she did. You know, we don't know what Jael's song is. You know, I kind of was thinking, I wonder what Jael, if she had a song, what would it be? Maybe something like, if I had a hammer, I'd hammer in the... I don't know. I don't know what hers would be, but hammer out justice all over this land. All right, that's bad enough. But just when you thought it was safe to move on, you know, I wonder what the last thing that went through Sisera's mind was. You know, it's kind of an interesting thought, but anyway. Okay, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that one. Probably should have just moved right on. I knew better. I knew I should have just, I was warned, I think, but anyway, all right. But notice what she says. She sang a song on that day saying, when leaders lead in Israel, when the people willingly offer themselves, bless the Lord. Modern day translation, how awesome it is when people will really lead the way God has called them to lead. Because when they don't, the whole nation suffers. Your homes suffer, dads, when you're not leading. Our communities suffer when there is not righteous leadership in place. Our nation suffers, this world suffers, when leaders of God refuse to lead. And in this case, Deborah had stepped up and begun to lead, and she's saying, you know what, look, when I stepped up and led, she's going to get into this, look what God did. And she's not going to exalt herself or talk about herself. She's going to be exalting God, but she's making a point. All it takes is one person who will really stand up to make a difference, to be bold. And when leaders lead, what a blessing it is to the nation of Israel. You know, I think we're desperate for leaders in our nation today. We're looking for leaders, but let me say this, not just leaders, godly leaders. We need godly leaders in the church and we need godly leaders in our nation. When people see a leader who will stand on what they believe and not back down, they are motivated and they are moved. Whether it's a man or a woman, it's what we desire. We want someone who will not shy away, who will say what they mean, stand on it, and not back down from it. But we need men in the homes to have backbone. We need men in our community to have backbone. We need women in the homes to have backbone. Women in the community to have backbone. God calls us to different places of leadership. And we need not shy away and be afraid. Maybe everyone won't like us. What is the worst thing that could happen? People don't like us, and God loves us. Which would you rather have? I know it feels bad. I like people to like me. I don't like to be singled out as the bad guy. But if I know that I'm doing what God has asked me to do, I'm going to stand there.
Thanks for being with us today here on Come to the Table with Pastor Mark Kirk. This radio program is an outpouring of the ministry happening at Calvary Knoxville in Knoxville, Tennessee. There are many intriguing stories from the book of Judges, but one of the ones that stands out to me is the story of Gideon. He put out that fleece three times to get a clearer answer or direction from God. God worked with Gideon in this, and he showed up mightily. In fact, God wanted to show what he could do with fewer people so that his ability to come through for his people would be evident. Instead of thousands to fight against their opponent, God had Gideon go up against the enemy with a few hundred men. This is how God works many times, coming in clutch at the last minute and doing things in such an unconventional way that you can only point to God for the answer and the solution. Do you have situations that have occurred in your life where you can claim that it was all God who orchestrated it all? I know I do. And I try to remember those instances so I don't forget God's goodness and His plan in it all. If you'd like to share any of those times or situations that you've experienced, would you give us a call at 865-609-1385? We'd love to hear from our listeners about how God is working in their lives. That number again to call is 865-609-1385. 1385. You can also learn more about this ministry by going to thewaymedia.net. Thanks for learning and growing from the Book of Judges here on Come to the Table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.